I'd never owned a Bible. I was 23 years old. And I told my wife, I said, I need a Bible. And we went down to the Shepherd Fold bookstore. And we went in there, and I didn't know. I said, I need a Bible. So he shows me this Bible and that Bible, the latest edition, you know, and all this stuff. And my wife walked over there. She said, no. I said, I want a Bible like my pastor reads out of. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I hadn't been saved long. And he started showing me, you know, this New Living Colors and this coloring book and that coloring book they called Bibles, you know. And I said, no, that's not what it sounds like. And then my wife walked over and said, he wants a Thomas Nelson, King James Version, center column reference Bible. I didn't even know what all that meant. And he got mad at her. But hey, he got me one. I've been reading them ever since. I've wore out many of them. And I hope today you'll fall in love with the Bible. Amen. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Psalm 136, I want to read the whole psalm. I want to read the whole psalm. You can't read part of this, you got to read it all. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, God of gods, for His mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endure forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endure forever. To Him who by wisdom made the heavens, His mercy endure forever. To Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endure forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endure forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endure forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endure forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endure forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endure forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endure forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endure forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endure forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endure forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endure forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endure forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endure forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endure forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endure forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endure forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endure forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endure forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endure forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endure forever. Oh, my goodness, we could preach all day on His mercy endure forever. Think about that. He got you out of bed this morning, for His mercy endure forever. He let you see the light, for His mercy endure forever. He delivered you from darkness, for His mercy endure forever. He saved you, for His mercy endure forever. He keeps you, for His mercy endure forever. He delivers you. He feeds you. He supplies your needs. He clears the way for you. He's prepared a place for you, for His mercy endure forever. It's all about the mercy of God. It ain't about you. The modern church people, it's all about them. It's all about, what can this church do for me? What can the Lord do for me? No, He's already done it, because His mercy let you get up and come here in the first place today. Amen? Amen. I looked up mercy. I was educated in South Carolina. I know you folks from out west and up north think we all have lost all our teeth and we can't read nor write. But we can even cipher. And so I looked it up so I could say it like you say it, okay? Webster says, a mercy is the act of God in pity or an act of God in compassion for someone. He also says, it's affections of the heart. He also says, to feel sympathy with the misery of another. Boy, I'm glad God feels sympathy with my misery. Amen? Amen. Amen. He brought me out from a low place and set me on a high place. Amen. Took me out of miry clay and established my going forth and put me on a solid rock. Amen. Because His mercy endured forever. You can't, hey, I'll get ahead of myself if I don't slow down. Listen, the phrase there is mentioned 26 times in this one psalm. Now, that's not the only time it's mentioned, but in this psalm, it's 26 times. His mercy, I got thinking about it, goes deeper than my sin. His mercy goes deeper than your sin. You can't out-sin the mercy of God. His mercy endured forever. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, all start out with grace and peace to you. That's how they start out. And God's mercy brings grace and peace. Now, those epistles are written to the believers in the churches. You can't have grace and peace till you become a believer and you receive the mercy of God. Amen? Then His mercy endure forever. Lamentations 3:23 says, thy mercies are new every morning. Every day you get up. Y'all listening, young people? Don't draw on him. Listen to me. Every day you get up, God gives you new mercy. New mercy. You say, preacher, I blew it yesterday. Tomorrow the sun's coming up. Every day brings new mercy. Every day. You say, well, preacher, I used to be a Christian, but I fell. Well, the sun came up since then. You got new mercy. Grab hold to it and go on. Amen? Amen. You don't ever have to fail because every day, all night, things are going to happen all the time. I wrote down about myself. That lost temper, that anger, that jealousy, that traffic. That's so much. That temptation. Did you know you'll have to seek forgiveness every day, all day, every night, all night? If you're honest with yourself, with God, you're going to have to seek mercy. Every one of you. Nobody's ever good enough to go to heaven. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. Psalm 19 says, cleanse thou me from secret faults, O Lord. Now, we look pretty good today. Well, you ought to look good. You came to church. I put on my Sunday best. Some of you fell out of bed, but I put on my Sunday best, and I went to church today, and I looked. If I looked in the mirror, I thought I was, you know, every man looks good when he looks in the mirror. Women look in the mirror, and they say, am I getting fat? And men look in the mirror, and we say, what a man. What a man. Amen? No matter how big you get, what a man. But if we're honest when we look in the mirror, we ought to look at ourselves and say, oh boy, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, you'd be dead in hell right now. Amen? And because everybody has secret faults. You know, there's things about you that nobody knows but God. Yeah, and thank God that's true. But did you know that His mercy is right there for that? You young people, you thought you got by with something this week. You didn't get by with anything. God saw it. But He's got mercy to cover it. Amen? Amen. Now, through the years of this church, I got thinking about it. Through the years of this church, how God has been good to us as a church. I got thinking about it the other day. Try to think of a time in this church since its beginning that God hadn't blessed us. Brother Rudy, tell me a Sunday God hadn't showed up and blessed us. There hadn't been a Sunday. But tell me a Sunday we deserved it. I thought about it. I didn't want I'll be honest with you. I'd served in a lot of churches in York County and got my heart broken, every one of them. And I didn't want to serve in another church in York County. I done went all the way back up to Charlotte there at Independent Bible Baptist Church, and I was doing real good there. I was happy there, and I was serving, and a church was paying me a little bit, you know, and things was happening. Church was growing. People was getting saved. People were coming back to church. Had to build a new church, you know, and all this stuff. And I was really happy. I really was. But people down here kept calling me, and they kept calling me, I kept saying, no, I'm not coming back to Rock Hill. And then finally, I said this, if God would give me a church building. Now, I knew God, but it didn't have no church buildings in Rock Hill to give away. I said, if God would give me a church building, I ain't starting in a store building no more. So it wasn't 2 weeks after I prayed that prayer. God said, go over on John Street, look, there's an empty church. Our first service, we had about 60 people. Yeah, first service. And I don't know where they're at now. All those people that called me every other day and sent me messages the other day, start a church, almost every one of them's gone now. Amen. Well, that's fine. God didn't go. God didn't quit. His mercy endured forever, and His mercy endured forever. And look, this church, people will come to our church and they'll visit our church. They'll say, well, this is the kind of church I want. It's friendly, it's loving, it's lively, it's spiritual. The old preacher ain't that bad. Got a good choir, got a good piano player, got an organ player, got singers. And the old preacher, he ain't that bad. And His mercy endure forever. And look, God's been blessing this place ever since. And we've never been in debt. It's not because we've been rich people. I'll tell you, the ones that's sitting here today is a lot more wealthy than the ones that started it. That's the truth. But we've never been in debt from day one. Independent Bible Baptist Church said they'd pay our first 6 months debt, my first 6 months salary. They paid it one time. And after that, they never had to pay it again. The Lord did that. His mercy endured forever. Then I thought about this. In 2 Chronicles 5:17, they finished building the temple. The temple was being built, and the ark of God was brought in, and the glory of God fell, and the Shekinah glory came in, and guess what? David said this, His mercy endures forever. When God shows up, that's all you got to say. His mercy endures forever, because we don't deserve it. Amen. If we took a poll in here today and started right here and went all the way around this room and we'd say, whoever you are, write down that, who didn't sin this week. And if you did, we'd say, well, we know that one did because it just lied. But He blesses us anyway. You know why? His mercy endures forever. His mercy endures. And then in 1 Chronicles 16:41, the ark had been taken captive and they were bringing it back into town. And David got so excited, he got out there and just bringing it in and he started dancing and he was singing, His mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever. And his wife said, you act like a fool, man. You done embarrassed yourself in front of all those women. And he looked there and he said, but His mercy endured forever. Some of you Baptists ought to get excited. You ought to jump up and down, and you ought to shout, and you ought to die. Hey, I ain't against dancing in church. It wouldn't hurt some of you. Dance a little jig. You did a lot before you got saved. You ain't forgot how. You just hold Him back, that's all. You dance for the wrong reason now. It wouldn't hurt you to get up and do a little. His mercy endured forever. I mean, do the twist, His mercy endure forever, whatever it is. It wouldn't hurt you to be a fool for Christ's sake. See, you think you paid a preacher to do that, so you won't have to do it. Well, I'm the one that's getting the blessing out of it, amen? I can't dance. I grew up in Lancaster. It was against the law to have public dances when I grew up. But His mercy endure forever. I can do it now, amen. You say, well, preacher, you ain't foolish. That's all right, I'll be a fool for Christ's sake. You sit there and be a nothing for like an old stone if you want to. Worst thing ever happened to me for my church members was people took me to camp meeting. I've seen them do everything. I've seen them jump, cut flips, do cartwheels, sing, dance, cry, wave their hands. I've seen it all. You say, preacher, you think the Lord was in that? I know liquor wasn't anymore. I know beer wasn't in anymore. I know pot wasn't in it anymore. I know meth wasn't in it or heroin wasn't in it. It had to be the Spirit of God. And if it wasn't, leave them alone. They doing all right. His mercy endure forever. I'd rather see you get crazy over the Lord than to get drunk. Why? His mercy. Everybody in here ought to stand up and shout and clap our hands and say, His mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. 26 times in one verse, one chapter. It wouldn't hurt you to do it every once in a while. David wasn't ashamed of gospel. Amen. We've let the world beat us down so much. We've let worldly Christians beat us down. They'll play their rock music and dance in church over that, but they won't dance over the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the grace of God. You know what? Every preacher ought to get up and clap their hands and sing, His mercy doeth forever. Every deacon ought to get up and clap their hands and shout, His mercy endureth forever. Every Sunday school teacher ought to get up and shout and clap their hands and sing, His mercy endureth forever. Every trustee in a church ought to get up and shout, His mercy endureth forever. The musicians, the choir director ought to get up and shout, His mercy endureth forever. And forget your background. Forget how you was raised. Forget that dead religion or no religion at all. And praise the Lord every once in a while. Every church member ought to do it. Every boy ought to do it. Every girl. It wouldn't hurt you teenagers to shout about something other than worldly stuff. By the way, that stuff will change next week. This will never change. That stuff will be gone. 50 cent will be 25 cent guy next week. BB or whatever her name is will be CC next week. Amen. I don't even know who they are. Bunch of heathens. They ain't going to teach you what to sing to praise the Lord. Amen? Rap music. Rap. Amen. Rap is what you do to kids' heads when they get out of line. You ought to jump up and sing, His mercy endureth forever. Every mama, every daddy, every grandma, every grandpa ought to jump up. You got breath to breathe. You're still alive. If you're saved, certainly. Amen. Amen. Doctors ought to do it. Lawyers. Yeah, lawyers ought to do it. I know there'd be a few of them, but lawyers ought to do it. Business people ought to do it. Poor people ought to do it. Rich people ought to do it. Black, white, red, yellow, polka dotted, striped. Everybody ought to jump up and say, His mercy endure forever. I get tired of dead Baptists, just dead, and they let that worldly crowd steal our shout. You know what? You ought to stop and think how sinful you were. And then you ought to thank God for the mercy that forgave you. So you didn't deserve that. That was mercy that gave you that. That was His mercy, His compassion. He felt sorry for you. That's why He saved you. He didn't save you because He saw you was going to get better. You ain't going to get no better. Hey, He saved you because He had mercy on you. And His mercy brought about sorrow for you because you didn't have enough sense to be sorry for yourself. And His mercy brought you salvation. I wasn't looking for it. He interrupted my life. You young people, listen to me. He's trying to interrupt your life. If you don't let Him do it now, He'll do it later on. It'll hurt a whole lot worse when you're older than it does when you're young. You'll have a lot more to be merciful about then. He'll have to love you even more then. Think about your attitude this week. Think about the things you've done wrong this week. Think about the harsh words you've said this week. Think about the envy and the jealousy and the covetousness. Think about the impatience this week. Think about that wrong look or that wrong thought this week. Think about the things that you deserve punishment for, and He loves you anyway, and He saves you anyway, and He keeps you anyway, and He has mercy on you because His mercy endures forever. over and over and over and over and over, God remembers His mercy. He said, I don't need it, preacher. You're not awake yet. One day you'll wake up and you'll be begging for it. And it might be too late. His mercy over and over. There's a lot of people that don't know what they're doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I was blind, deaf, and dumb. And you were too. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We couldn't even see spiritual things. And one day, He shined a light on us. Some preacher preached a sermon and you said, whoa! Some Sunday school taught a Sunday school lesson, some teacher, Sunday school teacher, and your eyes open, you said, Ma, whoa, whoa! Some mama, some daddy scolded you and started giving you the Word of God, and your eyes open all of a sudden. Maybe your grandma or grandpa explained the gospel to you, and the Lord had mercy on you and opened your eyes. You know there's people all over this world seeking the mercy of God. They're sacrificing animals to statues, and they're burning babies to statues, or they're over there trying to crawl up some basilica on their knees and pay for their sins. It ain't going to work. You'll thank God He opened your eyes one day and interrupted your life and let you see the truth. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Broad is the gate, and many there be that go in thereat. And He says, few are chosen. You know what? We've all had hard times. We've all had heartbreak. We've all been hurt. We've all been disappointed. And you say, preacher, these other people like that, and they're on all kind of medication. He's our medication. He's our mercy. He's our grace. He's our fortitude. He's our place that we run to. But we wouldn't know that if He hadn't shown us mercy in the first place. It's just by the grace of God. You ain't over there on the psychiatrist's couch with three or four prescriptions right now. It's just by the grace of God. You're not some pervert or weirdo. It's all the grace of God because He had mercy on you. If any church in this town ought to stand up and shout, this one right here ought to stand up and shout. You still got an inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God without one mixture of error at all. Not one jot, not one tittle. We don't have to go to some university or Dr. Doolittle to get Him explain us what verses belong in it, what don't belong in it. They all belong in it. He doesn't. Amen. And God's mercy showed us that. Well, to be thankful, God's Holy Spirit showed, manifest Himself amongst us. We can feel His power and His presence, His love, His grace. We can feel that. We can feel His comfort. We can feel His encouragement. We can feel His conviction. You know how long it's been since some churches have had any conviction in them? Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118 says it. We all ought to shout, and it's because God put up with people like me and you.
Amen.
Amen. The two greatest things on planet Earth, well, three, are the love of God, the love of a spouse, and the love of children. Those are people that love you anyway. Amen? And God saw fit to open your eyes and let you even see that you needed it. God uses people like us because of His mercy. God forgives people like us. Because of His mercy. God loves people like us because of His mercy. God keeps people like us because of His mercy. It's all about the mercy of God. Look, did you know you can't outlive His mercy? I wrote this down because it came to me. It must have been the Lord. I never would have thought of it. From the cradle to the grave, His mercy endure forever. From the terrible twos to the alien 80s, His mercy endure forever. From the tween to the teen, His mercy endureth forever. From the first light of birth to the valley of the shadow of death, His mercy endureth forever. From a tragedy or from a peaceful crossing, His mercy endureth forever. From success in life to the greatest failures you'll ever know, His mercy endureth forever. Amen? Thank God for His mercy. We'll be like David and dance around and clap and sing and dance and make a fool out of ourselves for His sake, because His mercy endureth forever. Listen, from the great rise in life to the greatest fall in life, His mercy endureth. You can't get outside the mercy of God. You can't do it. You say, preacher, I used to be a Christian. I walked away. You can't outwalk His mercy. The circle's too big. You'll never get out of it. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. He said, down to the deepest depths of hell, I'll go. His mercy endureth forever. Did you know that you may get lower than anyone has ever gone, and His mercy will be right there waiting on you. Amen. Now I know, look up at me, young people. Look at me. Look up, put your pen down here. All you young people, look at me. I want to tell you something, a secret about us old people. Look at me. I know I don't look that old, but I am. Come on, look at me. No matter how old you get, no matter how long you try to follow Christ, you will always fail sometimes. See, you look at us and you look at our clothes and our house and our car and a little money in the bank. You don't know how many failures it took us to get to where we are today. You don't know how many times we had to cry. You don't know how many times our heart was broken. And you don't know how we had to depend on His mercy, or we wouldn't be here today. And you're going to need it, young people. You listen to me. You're going to need it.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just glad His mercy endures forever. You say, you're the pastor. You're pretty good. Well, my best is not good enough. And you know what? I've fallen down and got up and fallen down and got up and fallen down and got up. And you, do you know what to keep you getting up? You'll say, well, Lord, forgive me. Give me mercy. And you young people think that one day you're just going to wake up and you're going to have arrived. That day'll never happen till the trumpet sounds. You're going to need, look, you're going to seek the mercy of God. Before this life's over, you will seek the mercy of God. You're going to get low. I don't care what your bank account says. I don't care where you live. I don't care what your family was. You're going to get low. And there's things going to happen in your life that you're going to need God. You're going to need God. And I'd like to tell you right now, run to His mercy now. Don't wait till then. Go ahead and get it now, so when you get there, it won't be near as bad. I preach a lot of funerals for young people and old people. I preach funerals for babies. I preached my mama's funeral 9.5 years old. And everything in between. And I've seen it all, people. You listen to me, I've seen it all. But the thing I've really seen is those that know all about His mercy and grace, they leave a funeral a lot better than those that don't. I've been to the hospital to see every kind of thing you could imagine at the hospital. I've just about seen it all at the hospital, as far as sickness and pain and ailments and death. And listen, those that have run to the mercy of God before they got to the hospital sure went through it a lot better than those that didn't know it and they waited till they got there.
Yes.
You know what's in for the people that sought the mercy of God? Is this working? Do you know what's in for the people that have sought the mercy of God ahead of time? Those times you come to in your life that you need God, He's going to already be there. And did you know this? He's already sitting there waiting on you.
Yes.
And did you know this? He's already arranged the end of whatever it is you're going to, and you'll meet Him at the end. Why? Because way back yonder somewhere,
You fled to Him for mercy. Not justice, you fled to Him for mercy. Said, God, I want to go to hell, and I'm no good, and I need help, God. Well, He'll give you that help. He'll give you that mercy. And then when you go through life, all those tragedies, all those heartaches, He'll be right there with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We didn't go to funerals growing up. I went to my sister's funeral. I was probably 10, maybe 8. She died at 22. After that, we never went to funerals. I was probably 16 when one of my best friends died with cancer. They asked me to be a pallbearer. I didn't know what a pallbearer was. We didn't go to funerals. We didn't go to weddings. We didn't go to funerals. Anything religious, we avoided it. And that's the first time that death ever looked me in the face at 16 years old. And it scared me to death. And I didn't know God. And I thought, He's 19. He died at 19. Am I going to make it to 19? The best man at my wedding died of a massive heart attack. Hooked on drugs. Had another friend fall off a horse when he was in his 20s, and he was drunk and fell off a horse and hit his head and killed him right then and there. I had some die of cirrhosis of the liver. I had one of my best friends was die. He was shot at 6 times and stabbed 3 times. Didn't die. And 10 years later, he died from cirrhosis of the liver. None of them knew God. But you know, after I got saved, after I found out about His mercy at 23 years old, and I asked Him for mercy, all that changed. All that changed. All my friendships changed. All my circles changed. And then when I went to a funeral, I could go and leave with the victory. I didn't have to worry about dying. If I go, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine too. Why? Because one day I sought His mercy. And now every day I seek His mercy. And His mercy never runs out. It endures forever. Most of you know the story. I'll tell it and I'll quit. 2 men went to the temple to pray, Jesus said. One was a Pharisee. Young people, you know what a Pharisee is? Need to go to Sunday school. It would help. All y'all need to go to Sunday school. Everybody in here should be in Sunday school. A Pharisee was a religious of the religious. Jew. He knew the book. He memorized it. Outwardly, he lived it. He dressed right. He ate right. He walked right. He talked right. He stayed in the temple half the time. One day he went to the temple to pray. When he got there, there was a publican. When you think of publican, think of a man that lives publicly sinning. He sinned outrightly. He was a public sinner. And when the Pharisee got there, he came down, he went straight up to the altar. Lord, I want to thank You, he said. I'm not like that man back there. I pray. I tithe. I go to the temple. He didn't say this, but he was thinking this, I'm somebody. You like me, God, because I'm somebody. Walked away. The poor publican stood way back there at the back. He was too ashamed to come down. You remember when you was too ashamed to come down?
Yes. Yes.
Orchard Field, 1978, 6th pew on the left-hand side, Eastside Baptist Church, North Jones Avenue. I was too ashamed to come down. I said, God, them people would talk about me. And he said, they know who you are. I said, Lord, I can't do it. If You'll help me move my foot, I'll go down there. I'll do whatever You want me to do. And I found myself going down the aisle, and I was weeping, and I was crying, and I didn't think a man should cry. And as I was coming down weeping and crying, the guilt was falling off, and the burden was falling off. And the farther I went, the more I cried, the better I got. And I got down there and I hugged that big old preacher and I said, Pastor, I need to get saved. He said, He desires to save you, son.
Thank you, Father.
Took me in a little room. Wayne Henson was the man's name. Took me in a little room. He took a Bible. He read me a few verses. He said, would you like to ask the Lord to save you? I said, I don't know how. I'm still crying. He said, pray and ask him. I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, but tell you what to pray. Will you pray it? He didn't know it. But if he'd have said, stand on your head and whistle Dixie backwards, I'd have tried it. I was ready. And he said, dear Lord. I said, dear Lord. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I said, I know I'm a sinner. He said, but I don't want to go to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell. He said, I believe Jesus died for me. I said, the best way I know how, I believe he died for me. He said, I believe he rose from the dead. I said, the best way. And I really didn't know what all that meant. People say, God, believe in the virgin birth. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I just knew I was going to hell and I needed some mercy. If there's a God in heaven, I wasn't going. And I said, dear God, please forgive me of my sins. He said, come into my heart. I said, Lord, come into my heart. I didn't know it, but he was already doing that when I got out and walked down the aisle down there. I was saved by the time I got to the front. All I got in there was confirmation. I was like that old publican. Said he wouldn't so much as lift his head. And he smote his breast. That's a sign of remorse with the Jew. And he smote his breast, hitting his heart. And he said, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. And Jesus said, you know who went on justified just as if they'd never sinned? The publican did. You know why? He didn't ask for what he deserved. He asked for mercy. Amen. Now listen, you young people, you're pretty good right now, but the older you get without Christ, the worse you're going to get. And it's a lot easier to get in now than it will be later. And the guilt's a lot less now than it will be later. You know what I do today? If I wasn't sure I was going to heaven, I'd run up here and I'd fall on this altar. You don't need anybody to show you scriptures. Jesus died for your sins and rose the third day according to the scriptures. And he sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He died for you. You already know that. You've been around here long enough to know that. What you need to do is stop resisting his mercy and run to his mercy and fall down up here and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I've sinned, but I don't want to go to hell. And I do believe Jesus died for me and I do believe he rose from the dead. And if I die and go to hell from today, it'll be counting on your mercy and nothing else. You know what happened? You'll go down one way and you'll come up another way. I walked out of that church that day. The sky was bluer. Those little puffy white clouds were so beautiful I'd never even noticed them. The trees were greener. I could have hugged a tree. I said, hey, I'm still crying. I cried by every day. I was still crying. But I was so peaceful and I was so happy on the inside. And I loved everybody. And I went home and I knew how to love my wife. And I went home and I knew how to love my children. And I called my mama, who was a Christian. I said, Mama, I got something to tell you. I got saved. And she started crying. I said, Mama, are you sick? I'll come down there. She said, I'm not sick, son. I'm happy. I want his mercy. I don't care. Rewards, I don't care. If God wants to give you something, that's wonderful, but seek his mercy. I'll read this passage and this will be your invitation. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened. That word means made alive. Who were dead. Spiritually, you were dead. In trespasses and sins. That means against God. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You live like everybody else out there. According to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. The spirit of air that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's you. You're disobeying God. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. We live like that. Look at this. The lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And look at this. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. She was born that way. Lady Gaga was right. She was born that way. She was born a stinking sinner. Wasn't born a homosexual. She was born a sinner. She chose to sin. But she was born a sinner. And look, he said, verse 4, but God. Then there's a comma. I like that. But God. See, it took you out of the picture. Took you out of the picture. But God. Who, look at it. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ by grace. That's undeserved love. You are saved. And has raised us up to sit together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I tell people, I walked in white trash that day. I walked out a child of the King. I walked up with my name written in hell, and I walked out with my name written up in heaven. Amen, amen, amen. His mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. His mercy endure forever. 26 times, you need to get hold of that. We're going to sing a song. And we're going to give you the opportunity, Christian number one. If the Lord spoke to you today, we're going to give you an opportunity to just come down and seek some mercy. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Today would be a good day to hit the reset button and start all over right here. Christian. And if you're not saved today, young people, don't tell me you're saved and you live like the world and all your heroes are of the world and all this stuff. Look, if you're not saved today, I'd run down here at the altar and I'd fall on the altar and say, God, I don't understand all this stuff, but I do understand this. If there's a God in heaven, I'm not right and I'm not going to heaven and I need some mercy and I believe Jesus died to pay for my mercy and rose again the third day. He'll give it to you. You don't have to join church. You don't have to get baptized. Don't have to take an oath or make a covenant. All you got to do is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's stand. Every head bowed.